take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus this evening, Exodus chapter 14. And here in Exodus chapter 14, we will ponder and prepare for the crossing of the Red Sea. Ponder and prepare for the crossing of the Red Sea. Leaving Egypt marks the start of a new chapter in Israel's history. And we note here in chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, that before crossing the Red Sea, we note that God has his people encamped by the sea. Why? For them to ponder and prepare in crossing the Red Sea. Let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we will pray. Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-haroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we are grateful for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that provides cleansing, forgiveness, redemption. And we pray, O God, as we meet for worship this evening, as we study your word once again, please teach us, encourage us how we can be best prepared in moving forward for your sake and for your glory. We ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The other week we studied verses 17 to 22 and we noted some principles that we need to bear in mind as we experience change, as God moves us on, as God closes a chapter, opens a new chapter in our lives. We noted from chapter 13, verses 17 to 22, that we need to be mindful that God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes, if not most of the time, things don't go as we think they will go. So we just need to be open to that. God told his people to go southeast, out of Egypt, as opposed to the most direct route, which was straight across east. So it's important to bear that in mind with any change, that God's ways are different to our ways. And also we stress the fact that the people of God move in a orderly fashion, and we need to make sure that our steps are ordered by the Lord. We noted as well there in the end of chapter 13 that Moses was mindful of that promise made to Joseph, that when this day would come, that his bones would also leave Egypt. So Moses took care of unfinished business. And when we move on to that next chapter of our lives, it's important that we look back and we make sure that everything is in order in moving on. And last but not least, God provided a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide them. And we were reminded of the fact that you and I as God's people need to be very careful lest we get ahead of God. We need to make sure that God is leading us and that we are following his direction, his guidance. And when he stops, we stop. When he moves, we move. But we are following him and we are not diverting or getting ahead of our God. So with that in mind, we come to chapter 14 and we note, which was of interest to me as I was preparing the next sermon, that God had Israel encamped by the sea. So in the final preparation to cross the Red Sea, God has the people of God camping. With the sea before them, Egypt behind them, God has them resting, waiting. And the logical question to me was, why? Why didn't they just keep going? That would seem logical to me. They've been told to get out of Egypt, and why waste time? Why didn't God's people just keep going? Why is it that God had them camping by this Red Sea? It would seem that God wanted them to ponder and prepare themselves for the crossing of the Red Sea and beyond. So it would seem to me that the reason why God has his people encamped by this sea that they are about to cross, and it will be a miracle to cross the Red Sea. There's no less than 600,000 of them. So God has them camped by the Red Sea. God is preparing them. Preparation is spiritual. Preparation is beneficial. In Proverbs chapter 16, quickly verse number 1, there's an interesting little phrase here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 1. It reads, "The preparations of the heart in man." And what that literally means is that the preparations of the heart are man's responsibility. You and I have the responsibility to be prepared. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So God imparts sound wisdom that if you and I will do our part, God will do his part. To be prepared is spiritual. To be prepared is beneficial. In Amos chapter 4, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet thy God? See, God calls for preparation. And it would seem to me that God has the nation of Israel camping by the Red Sea because he wants them to ponder, he wants them to prepare for this next chapter. Leaving Egypt marked the start of a new chapter in Israel's history. And so likewise for you and I that are children of God, we need to be mindful that we are pilgrims just passing through. And your life and my life can be likened to a book of chapters. And God has a way of opening up a new chapter and closing that chapter, or bringing that chapter to a close and opening up a new chapter. And it could well be that you are in the midst of a new chapter, a major change, a new beginning in your life. And this is what's taking place with the nation of Israel. This is a new chapter for them. Their people have spent the last 400 plus years in Egypt. So all of these individuals that have left Egypt, they haven't known anything else but Egypt. That's all they've known. And they have cried out for a deliverer. God provides a deliverer in Moses, and God provides a way out. And here they are, they're about to begin a new chapter. So God prepares them. And in preparing them, he causes them to ponder at the same time. See, God wants us to do the will of God from a willing heart. And God wants us to be mindful and be fully aware of the new steps that we take for his glory. God is not a God that pushes you and I into a corner. God guides, God leads. But ultimately, you and I need to say, "Yes, Lord, I will
follow. So how does God prepare the nation of Israel in crossing the Red Sea and making their way towards the Promised Land? Preparation is spiritual. Preparation to be prepared is beneficial. I think of Luke chapter 14, verse 28, where the Lord Jesus said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" Let's note some reasons why we need to ponder on the major decisions that we're about to make, or those new chapters that we are about to begin. We note here from verses 3 to verse number 9 that God's people needed the reminder that there would always be opposition. There would always be opposition. Even though they were leaving Egypt, they will still experience opposition, warfare, battle, trials. And so likewise for you and I, as we begin new chapters and as we get excited about the fact that God is opening up a new chapter, whatever that might be for you, it won't be straightforward. There will be some opposition. And we see this in verses 3 down to verse number 9. Let's read. The Bible reads here in Exodus chapter 14, the third verse, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Haroth before Baal-Zephon. So we see from verses 3 to 9 that there will always be opposition. There will always be opposition as you and I move forward for the Lord, as we begin those new chapters, so to speak, in our lives. It won't be straightforward. It won't be easy. There will always be opposition. The devil will not give up on us. You'd think Pharaoh would have learned his lesson. You'd think that Pharaoh's servants would have learned their lesson. But no, the Bible says that God hardened their heart and they came to themselves and they said to themselves, "What have we done? Why on earth do we let them go in the first place? Let's get them back." The devil will not give up on us. He will confront us at every point of our lives. In every chapter of our lives, we will combat spiritual opposition, one way or another. Wherever we are, whether in the Egypt stage of our lives, unsaved, or making that decision to cross the Red Sea, a beautiful picture of salvation, or possessing the promised land, a wonderful picture of sanctification, the devil is there and he is in pursuit. He is there to blind, he is there to distract, he is there to steal, he is there to destroy. The Bible talks about the devil being like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And could it well be that God had the nation encamped by the sea in order to remind them that though they have left Egypt, that is not the end of their trials and tribulations. There are new ones just around the corner. And it's important that you and I, as we prepare and as we move on for God's glory, or possibly begin that new stage of life, or begin that new chapter in our lives, we need to be mindful there will always be opposition in some way and some form. And this is why Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we must put on the whole armor of God. If we are to stand against the wiles of the devil, we need to put on each piece, praying always with all prayer and supplications, because there will always be opposition. There will always be foes. There will always be a devil and his demons that wants to halt you and I in pressing forward for God's glory. There will always be opposition, no matter what stage of life you are at. I remember as a young Christian experiencing trials and tribulations. I remember as a young adult single, a Bible college student, married, young family, mature family. Every stage of life, there will be spiritual opposition. But also note in verse number 10, another principle. We see that God's people had to deal with fear. Fear. Look at verse 10 of Exodus 14. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, and the children of Israel lift up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Another point of note that we need to be mindful of as we move forward for the Lord. Not only do we need to be mindful, there'll always be opposition. But secondly, we need to deal with those fears in our hearts. With every new beginning, we move into possibly the unknown to a measure, there is always the potential for fear. And could it be that God had the nation encamped by the sea and it was good for them to see the Egyptians because it revealed fear in their hearts? When the Israelites saw the Egyptians marching after them, they were afraid. We understand from the scriptures that fear has its origin in the Garden of Eden. When sin entered into the world because of Adam and Eve's sin, they hid from God because they were afraid. Yes, fear is natural, but it's not spiritual. This fear that the Israelites felt deeply was rational fear. It was understandable. They could see the Egyptians. It wasn't irrational. It wasn't a figment of their imagination. They saw before them the Egyptians. They recognized them. It was rational, understandable fear. Whether fear is rational or irrational, neither kind of fear is acceptable to God. Because God tells us time and time again, does he not? Fear not. Fear not. Stop being afraid. We conquer fear by coming under the dominion of the Holy Spirit of God. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind. So with every new chapter in our lives, it would seem that God wants us to be mindful. There will be opposition ahead. And God also has a way of highlighting and bringing to the surface fears. Yes, natural, but not spiritual. We conquer fear by replacing that fear with prayer. Philippians 4:6. We conquer fear in our lives by growing in our relationship with the Lord. 1 John 4:18. For perfect love casteth out fear. So God dealt with their fear. God reminded them that there would be opposition. But also note that in verse number 11, we note questioning. They questioned their decision. Note there in Exodus 14, verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? There's questioning. And maybe for you and I, as we begin that new chapter in our lives, there are some question marks. And maybe we're asking ourselves the question, why am I doing this? What have I done? Is this the right decision? The devil is a master at planting seeds of doubt in our minds, is he not? We see from the beginning in the Garden of Eden that devil planted seeds of doubt in the heart of man. Hath God said? And when those doubts float across our minds, or those doubts are embedded in our hearts, they can be very crippling. They can be destabilizing. And it's important that you and I go back to that sure foundation, which is the Word of God and God's leadership and God's provision. And that's why I'm a firm believer, if God leads you, it seems God's leading you towards a major decision in your life, a major change, that you seek God and you ask God to give you book, chapter, verse. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't think you need book, chapter, verse to brush your teeth every day. I don't think you need book, chapter, verse every day to be in church. God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You don't need book, chapter, verse to go out soul winning. God's told us, go soul winning. But when it comes to specific leadership in your life, whether it be on a relationship level, whether it be on a work level, whether it be on a ministry level, you know when you are faced with a major decision. And my encouragement is always stay in the book and let God speak and confirm. Because those doubts will come. They will. Mark my words. See, God's preparing Israel to cross the Red Sea and to begin a new chapter. It ain't just going to happen. Okay? So God is causing them to deal with some doubts. And we see here from verse 11 that some of these Israelites were saying, hey, Moses, you've let us out so we can die out here in the wilderness, because there's no graves or nowhere to be buried in Egypt. That's why you've really brought us out here. Question mark. Question mark. So when those doubts float across your mind, or find themselves embedded in our hearts, we need to go back to the Word of God. Be mindful of how God has led us and God has confirmed His will. See, the problem with Adam and Eve was that they did not know God's word precisely. God spelled out very clearly to Adam, "You will not eat of the fruit of this tree. The day you eat thereof, you will die." Full stop. Simple as that. And the devil attacked Adam's wife and questioned and just twisted the word of God. And because Adam didn't lead and Eve didn't know her theology, the rest is history. The rest is history. This is why we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. And we need to come back to the Word of God, thus saith the Lord, that when we find ourselves pressing forward for Him and beginning that new chapter in our lives, and the doubts come, the questions come, we can go back and say, "Yes, God has led me. God has led me." And if God has led me, God will enable me. So God had to remind His people by the side of the Sea of Galilee that they still have opposition to combat. And also God had to deal with some fears, some questioning, and then we note verse number 12, pride. Rotten old pride. Note then verse 12 of Exodus chapter 14. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Note that little phrase there. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt?" "We told you so, Moses. Don't you remember? We told you this is not going to work. Sounds good, but it's not going to work." So we see that pride has crept in into the hearts of some of God's people. And when we face obstacles or difficulties, or things don't seem to go smoothly, we can point the finger and blame it on someone else. And they said to Moses, "We told you this would happen. These doomsday Israelites have come to the surface, endeavoring to put Moses in his place." Not only questioning his motives, questioning, but we see pride surfacing. "We told you." See, pride is a form of self-defense. Pride can also be a form of self-justification. And we need to guard our hearts against pride. The Bible teaches us that pride leads to destruction. But as it reads there in the book of James, chapter 4, verse number 6, please. James chapter 4, verse number 6. James 4, 6 reads, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud." But let's say it together.
But God giveth grace unto the humble. God gives grace unto the humble. We don't see humility here in Exodus chapter 14, verse 12. We see pride. We told you so. We told you it was all going to go bust. It wasn't going to work. We told you. Pride. As opposed to humility. Oh, here's the Egyptians. Okay, Lord. We need your grace. You promised grace to the humble. So God is preparing Israel to cross the Red Sea, and he's reminding them of the fact that there will be opposition. There will be potential fears. There will be questioning. And if we're not careful, we'll allow pride to creep into our hearts, justifying those difficulties that we're experiencing in the process. Be on guard. Pride is destructive. And then we move on in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 13, and we note God's remedy for Israel in dealing with their opposition and in dealing with their fear and dealing with their doubt and dealing with their pride. And with any step forward for God, you and I need to be mindful that we need to deal with the opposition. There will be opposition. Just face the music. It's going to happen. They that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And if you are moving upward and onward for Jesus Christ, there will be some heartaches. There will be some pain. There will be those that won't like you. There will be those that will scoff you and mock you and will not support you. In fact, there might even be those that you would have expected to support you are the ones that are not supporting you. Opposition. And all of us are prone to fear because we have a sinful nature. We need to deal with those fears. Not only fears, but doubts. We can question our movements for the Lord forward. And also we need to guard our hearts against pride. So God's remedy for Israel in dealing with their opposition, their fear, their doubts and their pride. Note verse 13. God said to the nation of Israel, in essence, let's let God be God. Look at verse 13. Wonderful verse. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. Not tomorrow, today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Love that wording. Beautiful King James English. No more forever. Let God be God. No need to be afraid. Moses said to the nation of Israel, God is on our side, nothing to fear, be still, don't panic, let's wait upon God. God's our deliverer. God will provide a way of escape. God will work in a miraculous way. Let's stand back and let's look to God to do the miraculous. Let's let God be God. Amen? Let's let God be God. If God leads you into that new chapter in your life, let God be God. God is the God of miracles. With God, all things are possible. Fear not, be still. Watch, see the salvation of God. And also note in verse 14 that Moses said to the people of God, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let God be God, number one, in dealing with opposition, dealing with fear, doubt and pride. Let God be God. Then verse 14,
God reminded the nation, hey, God will fight for you. You hold your peace. Don't react. Remain calm. Rest in the Lord. God will do the fighting for you. In Isaiah 30, verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Amen? In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. God will fight on our behalf. Let's let God be God. Let's look to God to do the miraculous. And then note then verse 15, God instructed the Israelites to keep moving forward. Okay, it's now time to get up and let's go. We've been in camp for long enough. Get up. Let's go. Let's go. Verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak thou unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Okay, Moses, get them walking now. Let's go. Honeymoon's over. Rest period's over. Get up. Let's go. Keep moving forward. Don't go backwards. Sideways. Go forward. You have come to this point. Keep going. No time to quit. Move forward. And may God help us in His will as we begin those new chapters in our lives to keep moving forward. And when God says move, move. Up until this point, God has willed for them to be encamped by the sea. But no longer. It's time to move on. And God said to Moses, you tell the people of God, get up. Start marching. And then note there verses 16 to 18. As Moses instructs the children of Israel to go forward, to start marching towards the Red Sea, then God said specifically to Moses, but lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. Wow, what a responsibility Moses had to lead God's people. God was going to use Moses, the man of God, to divide the Red Sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verse 17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honour upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, and upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And note verse 18, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honour upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. So God told Moses to tell the people to start walking towards the water. And Moses, you are to lift up your rod, stretch your hand over the sea. You are to divide the waters, and God's going to lead you and your people through the sea on dry ground. And then Moses, I'm going to deal with the Egyptians, and they will know that your God is the one and true and living God. So we see from verses 16 to 18 that you and I need to cleave to what God has promised. Now this hasn't happened yet. God's telling Moses this is what's going to happen. Get it? Hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen. It ain't happening yet, but it's going to happen. Tell Israel to do this, Moses, you do this, and I will do this. That's it. God said it, that settles it. Let's cleave to what God has promised that He will do. Get Israel marching, Moses, you do your bit in leading them, and this is what I'm going to do for you, and this is what I'm going to do to the Egyptians. But get marching. Start marching. Cleave to what God has promised. So, beloved, this evening, God's remedy for Israel, God's remedy for you and I, as we face those new chapters in our lives, be mindful that there will be opposition. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. And what takes place within the history of the nation of Israel has been recorded for our example, for our edification. And we'll say more about that next week. But note Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, which reads, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." So we see clearly now why God had Israel camp by the sea instead of just rushing them over the sea into the promise, towards the promised land. This was just the beginning. They had to cross the Red Sea, they had to make their way through the wilderness and make their way upward towards the promised land. Then they'll need to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land. This is just the beginning. There's a long way to go. See, God works from and for eternity, beloved. God's in no rush. And it's important that you and I are well prepared for those steps forward for God's glory. And even though we might at times doubt, be fearful, be proudful, you and I need to just look to the Lord and let God be God, be reminded that God will fight for us. Keep moving forward and cleave to his promises. That's what God said to Moses. Get them marching. You go before them. Lift up your hand towards the sea. I'm going to use you to divide it. You'll go through. The Egyptians will follow. I'll take care of them. This is what's going to happen, Moses. Just believe me and do it. So faith is involved. The just shall live by faith. We're saved by faith, we're to walk by faith. And every new chapter in your life, in my life, encompasses a measure of faith. And God wants us to trust him. And in moving forward by faith, we'll have to deal with opposition, we'll have to deal with fear. It's only natural, not spiritual, but it's natural. You'll be fearful. There'll be doubts, and we just need to guard our hearts against marks of pride. Marks of pride. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord, cleave his promises, and keep moving forward for his glory. Let's bow for prayer.